You know, we want to wish everyone a happy Mother's Day. I just want to go on record as I actually tried to get one of the female folks to actually speak on Mother's Day, because I'll never understand how to become a mother or understand the mother's love. You know, a mother's love starts cultivating 9 months before a father's love. You know, maybe the father from the outside can see it, but there's something about the mom on the inside. And unlike some people, I do know biology. And I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my mom. Now, my dad had something to do with it, but my mom was the most important aspect of the whole thing. All right. But I do want to say that, you know, I don't know if I would be here, standing here, if it wasn't for my mom, who always believed in me, no matter how much I messed up or how stupid I was in life. Even wrote a book about it. But I do want to wish all the moms, not only here, but also watching online, a happy Mother's Day. You know, I was looking through a number of things. A lot of pastors actually don't even preach a Mother's Day sermon because they said, well, you know, there wasn't a lot about women in the Bible. Whenever during the genealogy, they skipped over most of the women. You know, when Jesus fed 5,000, that was 5,000 men. It didn't even include the women and children. You know, a lot of times women were not included in the Bible. But if you know what, if it wasn't for women, if it wasn't for mothers, none of us would be here. We would just have one guy on the earth named Adam. He might have not messed up, but it would just be him. It would just be Adam, maybe some volleyball with some face on it or something like that. You know, obviously women are very important, because you know what? Without a mother, Jesus would have never been born. God used a mom to change the world. I wasn't meaning to start like that. I was going to mean to start with some couple of funny things. You know, I'm not sure if these are actually jokes or they really happened, but there's a couple of things I read about, you know, some stories about mom or concerning mom. Here's one called Back to School. Little Johnny had finished his summer vacation and gone back to school. 2 days later, his teacher phoned his mother to tell her that he was misbehaving. Wait a minute, she said. I had Johnny with me for 3 months, and I never called you once when he misbehaved. A mom asked her daughter, on her first day of school, said, Mom says to her daughter, did you enjoy your first day at school? The daughter answered, first day, do you mean I have to go back again tomorrow? And then my favorite, the call for backup. A police recruit was asked during an exam, what would you do if you had to arrest your own mother? He answered, call for backup. You know, in the past, I think I've done a few Mother's Day sermons, and usually I went for some serious quotes, you know, maybe some quotes about from Abraham Lincoln about his mom and different presidents. But you know what? I found these quotes, and some of them are better than those, maybe. Here's a definition of mom. Mother, noun, one person who does the work of 20 for free. See also Saint and Wonder Woman. This is an unknown quote. I'd like to be the ideal mother, but I'm too busy raising my kids. All right. Someone says this, why don't kids understand that their nap is not for them, but for us? Here's another one. Silence is golden unless you have kids. Then silence is just suspicious. All right. Someone said, nothing is really lost until your mom can't find it. Many of you have heard, know the great tennis pro Serena Williams. Well, this is what she says about being a mom. All right. Says, I've conquered lots of things. Blood clots in my legs twice. Knees and foot surgeries. Winning grand slams tournaments being down, match point, to name just a few. But I found out by far the hardest thing in life is figuring out a stroller. Don't even ask the dads. We got some fancy stroller one time, and I'm like, I never could figure out how to pull, how to get it together. All right, here we go. Someone says, sometimes I open my mouth and my mother comes out. Reese Witherspoon says this, I always say, if you aren't yelling at your kids, you're not spending enough time with them. Someone says this, if at first you don't succeed, try doing it the way your mom told you to do in the beginning. Someone says this one, a mother, this is true, I've seen my mom do it many times. A mother is a person who, seeing there are only four pieces of pie for five people, promptly announces she never did care for pie. Here's a good one. Children are great comfort in your old age, and they will help you reach it faster, too. Irma Bombeck says this, when your mother asks, do you want a piece of advice? It's a mere formality. It doesn't matter whether you answer yes or no. You're going to get it anyway. Someone says this, working moms are guinea pigs in a scientific experiment to show that sleep is not necessary for human life. Betty White says this, it's not easy being a mom. If it were easy, fathers would do it. This is interesting what Jennifer Lopez says about being a mom. She says, I used to give my friends who have kids advice all the time, and they would look at me like I had three heads. And then I had two kids, that is. Says, I literally apologize to all my friends. Here it says, life doesn't come with a manual, it comes with a mother. And then my favorite quote, a daughter asked her mom, says, Mom, what is it like to have the greatest daughter in the world? The mom answers, I don't know, honey. You'll have to ask grandma. Mother's Day is actually the third largest attended Sunday at church behind Christmas and Easter. Many of us didn't know that. Also, more phone calls are made on Mother's Day than any other day of the year. These holiday chats with mom often causes the phone traffic to spike as much as 37%. And I'm here to tell you today, I know we have modern day, you know, text messages and in social media. But you know what? Today is the day you should pick up the phone and call your mom. Actually call and talk to your mom, you know, if she's still here, you know, because one day she might not be, and you'll wish you could talk to her again. So, you know, pick up that phone and talk. You know, Mother's Day is a great holiday, and it is interesting. We live in a world where people create holidays. I'm not sure who creates holidays. Let's talk about, today's May 8th. So I looked up and wanted to find out, besides Mother's Day, what else is it? Well, today is National Coconut Cream Pie Day. Yeah. All right. So, all right. National Military Spouse Appreciation Day. National Empanada Day. Free Trade Day. Iris Day. National Give Someone a Cupcake Day. National Have a Coke Day. National Student Nurses Day. National No Sock Day. Well, I did wear socks today, by the way. Today also is Victory in Europe Day in 1945 during the World War II. It's White Lotus Day. It's World Ovarian Cancer Day, World Red Cross Day, and my favorite, World Donkey Day. Of course, obviously, you know, we have special things, weekly things. Today marks the end, the last day of National Lawyers Well-Being Week. And we're in the middle, for whatever reason, this started on Thursday, but it's National Nurses Week, all right? May is also National Bike Month, Golf Month, National Hamburger Month, National Barbecue Month, and something that I do not ever, you know, adhere to, Better Speech and Language Month. Now, I do not know where all these weird days originated. Sometimes I think some of these quote-unquote holidays were invented by Hallmark just to sell cards. Speaking of cards, you know, cards have gone up. Now with inflation, who knows what cards will be. It's going to be $20 to get a card one of these days, you know. But, you know, I think it's also important to understand the origin of Mother's Day because that's more important than National Donkey Day. I don't even know what you do for National Donkey Day. I mean, you know, give your favorite donkey a carrot? I don't know. But Mother's Day is a wonderful holiday, and it's been celebrated in some form for many years. Many people have no clue how it came about. The ancient Greeks and Romans had some kind of Mother's Day. But really, the clearest modern precedent for Mother's Day in the early Christian, it's early Christian festival known as Mothering Sunday. I said, once a major tradition in the United Kingdom and parts of Europe, this celebration fell on the fourth Sunday in Lent and was originally seen as a time when the faithful would return to their mother church, the main church that they grew up in the vicinity of their home, for a special service. And so, you know, people actually, it was a tradition, they would let people off work to travel home to go to church with their mom, you know. Throughout the years, there's many other things that went on before the Civil War. Ann Reeves Jarvis of West Virginia helped start Mother's Day work clubs to help mothers understand how to properly care for their children. Anyway, Mother's Day started because Ann Jarvis, the daughter of Ann Reeves Jarvis, following her mother's 1905 death, conceived the idea of Mother's Day as a way of honoring the sacrifices of the mothers made for their children. And, you know, she was bound and determined to not only honor her mother, but honor mothers around the world. And it is interesting that one lady that we probably don't even know in history created a holiday that everyone's always celebrated in your entire lifetime. You know, so sometimes you think that I'm just one person, how can I ever make a difference in this world? This person made a difference, not only in this world, but also in your life, because, you know, what would your life be without Mother's Day? You know, it's, and mothers are worth honoring. Once again, you wouldn't be here without one, you know. It is interesting, after gaining financial backing from a Philadelphia department store owner named John Wanamaker, in May 1908, she organized the first official Mother's Day celebration at a Methodist church in Grafton, West Virginia. That same day also saw thousands of people attend a Mother's Day event at one of Wanamaker's retail stores in Philadelphia. So I'm not so sure it was because of the church service or because of the great event at the store, but that was the first Mother's Day. Following the success of the first Mother's Day, Jarvis decided that she was going to make sure that this was a national holiday added to the calendar, and so she started. She said that American holidays were biased toward male achievements. So she started a massive letter-writing campaign to the newspapers and prominent politicians urging the adoption of a special day honoring motherhood. By 1912, many states, towns, and churches had adopted Mother's Day as an annual holiday, and Jarvis had established a Mother's Day International Association to help promote her cause. Her persistence paid off in 1914 when President Woodrow Wilson signed a measure officially establishing the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. Ann Jarvis had originally conceived Mother's Day as a day of personal celebration between mothers and family. Her version of the day involved wearing a white carnation as a badge and visiting one's mother or attending church service. But once Mother's Day became a national holiday, it was not too long before florists, card companies, and other merchants capitalized on its popularity. But that's how Mother's Day started, because one woman wanted to honor her mom, that she made it, she was bound and determined to make it a national holiday, and Mother's Day is actually celebrated all over the world today because of one lady's persistence. Now, like I said, you know, many times people do not preach about Mother's Day because there's not a lot of moms in the Bible, but moms are very important. If it wasn't for moms, you know, we wouldn't have all the things we have, but we also wouldn't have seen the birth of Jesus Christ. You know, some people actually celebrate Mother Mary more than Jesus, because without Mother Mary, there wouldn't be a Jesus Christ. And just think about Mary. Think about how she carried Jesus for those 9 months, knowing that he was the Savior of the world. Now, I looked up a couple of scriptures that I wanted to read today. I want to, first of all, start in a scripture that I read a lot in life. This is my spanking scripture. Ephesians chapter 6. Yes, my spanking scripture, because my dad normally did my spankings. My mom sometimes did too, but my dad's spankings hurt more. All right. And I do thank God for discipline, because you know what? Time out wouldn't have worked with me. Didn't work with my kids. You know, it just didn't. All right. Time out wasn't good enough for me. But this scripture my dad would actually have me read before I would get a whipping. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 1, we're reading from the New Living Translation. Interesting, it says, "Children, obey your parents, because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do." And then it says, "Honor your father and mother." You know, we should honor our moms. We should honor our dads too. But, you know, the Bible tells us to. It goes on to say, this is the first commandment with promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. Now, I thought it was always interesting because, you know, my dad would usually want me to stop there, but I'd always continue reading the next verse because it was usually my dad giving me the whipping. It says this, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord." I thought this was interesting that wasn't written, nothing was written to the moms. Because you know what? I don't care how bad you are. I don't think a mom can provoke you to anger because they love you that much. But fathers, on the other hand, they're a little different. You know, like I said, I don't think that a male, a father, can ever understand the true love of a mom and the true sacrifice that they go through, not only in their own bodies, but in their entire life. Because you know what? You know, dads are maybe a little bit disconnected, but that mom is connected to that child for the rest of their life. It is interesting because moms can make you do things that you don't want to do. There's many people, in fact, there's many people that are sitting in churches today because they're there to honor their mom. They might not want to be there. They might not be the most spiritual people, but there are people around the world that are in a church service that normally don't attend church services, that maybe pray for, but they're there to honor their mom because there's just something about honoring your mom and being there for your mom. And so a scripture I want to read is interesting, talking about Jesus' life. And like I said, if it wasn't for Mary, Jesus wouldn't be here. But Jesus' first miracle is because of his mom. And no other reason. John chapter 2, verse number 1. Reading from the New Living Translation says this, "The next day there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festival. So Jesus' mother told him, they have no more wine. Verse 4, Jesus talking. Dear woman, that's not our problem. It's not our wedding. It's not our problem. Jesus replied, my time has not yet come. So he's telling his mom, hey mom, you know, it's not time for me to start this. So what did the mom do next? Standing nearby were six, mom says verse 5, but his mother told the servants, do whatever he tells you. See, he knew, Mary knew that Jesus would do it for her. And then maybe it was Jesus' time, but like us, he didn't know where to start. He didn't know when to start. Maybe it took Mary to push him into starting his ministry. I mean, I don't know. That's just me talking. But sometimes it seems that, you know what, that there are goals and visions and dreams on the inside of you that you feel that God wants you to do. And maybe it might be someone like your mom that has to push you to help you understand. Because maybe you're out there saying, well, my time's not yet. It's not time for me to do that. But maybe it is. You just need a little push. Thank God for some moms that give their children a little push. You know, it's not uncommon, you know, in the animal habitat, especially the birds. I mean, they push their kids out of the nest, so to speak. You know, sometimes there's a comfortability in being there in our home with our mom. Because you know what? Another quote I didn't read is, home is always where your mom is. You know, maybe your mom's home wasn't the home you grew up in, but if your mom's there, it becomes your home. You know, I don't know, but what I do know is that even though when Jesus said it wasn't his time, and then his mom didn't pay attention to what Jesus said, sometimes that is the case too. The mom won't pay attention to what the kids say because their opinion doesn't really matter that much. Because they know that kid is not going to disappoint their mom. So even when Jesus said, my time had not come yet, Mary didn't stop. He just turned to the servants and says, do what he tells you. And Jesus decided his time had come. So it says, standing nearby, there were six stone water jars used for the Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, fill those jars with water. When the jars had been filled, he said, now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies. Now, do you realize this took faith for these servants? Because if the master of ceremonies didn't like the water, who knows what might happen to him? But Mary said, do whatever he tells you. So they did. So the servants followed his instructions. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where to come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. A host always serves the best wine first, he says. Then when everyone has a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you have kept the best wine until now. This miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory and his disciples believed in him. You know, it was because his mom believed in him that Jesus started his ministry through one act. You know, I think more than anything, it's important for us to always understand that our mom believes in us when nobody else believes. And sometimes we might need that push, you know, from our mom. Today, like I said, not being too spiritual, but it was a mom who started the whole thing. In fact, you know, God uses moms. He used Eve. Then after he wiped the whole earth, then he used Noah's wife, daughters, daughter-in-laws to replenish it. If it wasn't for moms, nobody would be here on the earth. It would be a lonely place. And so people think maybe moms aren't important, but moms are probably the most important thing in the Bible, whether it mentions them or not. They're the most important people in the Bible. I want to give you a few tips from my mom. One spiritual, one natural. My mom and I, we probably talk every day. But the majority of time when you talk to mom, you talk business. That's just what we do. Mom thinks about the work of the ministry 24/7. It doesn't matter. She's always thinking about making sure this ministry continues to do what God has called us to do, you know, in every area. And one of the things of advice she gave me, not so spiritual, but it's helped me, is that one time I was griping about, you know, one of the bad things about having employees underneath you is having employees underneath you. You realize different employees have different personalities, different traits, different things that I don't have, you know, and sometimes we look at it as a negative thing. Some people need different ways of motivation. You know, some people actually need motivation. Some people don't. I mean, if you don't tell them they're doing a good job, then they think you don't like them. They think the fact that they're doing a good job, you should give them adoration. My mom's generation thinks you should do a good job if you're working a job. But we have to understand. So one of the things I was griping about one of my employees, and my mom said, you know, you could just fire everybody, but eventually then you'll have to do everything yourself. Said, you're not going to be able to always hire somebody, because everyone's not going to think like you or do things like you. So one of the things you need to learn at a young age, Craig, is how to work with different personality types and how to get the most out of them, you know, by learning how they think, what they think. But you know what? It's not just a working thing. It also helps us establish relationships with other people, because other people aren't like you. In fact, it's very common for people to marry people that are not like themselves. So if you can't learn to live with other people, it's going to be a lonely life for you. And so that was one of the thing that's helped me the most is, you know, you just can't fire everybody. You got to learn to work with them. It also helped keep a couple people's jobs around here. I'm going to be honest with our music minister, Dan Taylor, and I have talked many times about, man, we wish we could fire this person, but we can't. We have learned to work with them. So anyway, just, you know. We've had a number of discussions about some of the people who've worked in the mailroom, although we've had plenty of great ministers that have worked here at the mailroom at Kenneth Hagin Ministries and Rainbow Bible Church. Wonderful place, many different things. The second thing is my mom taught me is more spiritual, and it's biblical. She's taught me there's nothing you can't do. Now, she's taught me that by reading the word, but she's taught me that by being an example for me to follow. Her mindset is there's nothing you cannot do. And I learned that I can't sit in my mom's office and tell her that we can't do it, because the Bible says we can. And if the Bible says we can, I can't argue with the Bible. But how many times do you mentally argue with the Bible? We all know the scripture, Philippians 4:13. And if you don't know it, you can go out and get her bracelet. She has one out there that has her favorite scripture in life, and it's probably her motto in life. Of course, the New King James Version says this: I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, the thing about it is the Bible clearly says that you can do all things. So there is no I can't in the Word of God. Anytime you say the word I can't, you're contrary to the Word of God. You can because you know Christ. There is nothing you can't do. There is nothing that, you know, according to the Bible. See the globe? We were told that can't be done. We actually called other technical people, like, you know, like Disney, Universal Studios, you know, Six Flags, other theme parks, and said, hey, do you guys have any something like that? Nope. 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 Everybody said no. My mom says we can do it. So we have a globe. See, here's the thing. So now I never tell mom I can't. I never tell my mom we can't. I do tell my mom sometimes I don't know what it's going to cost. It might be expensive, but we can do it. We can make it happen. There's nothing you can't do. And you know what? The Bible tells you that. And I thank God that my mom ingrained that in my life. And many times in life, whenever we're facing situations and circumstances, you know, the devil tries to come to you and knock on your door. And sometimes your head for a minute says, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. But then on the inside comes the word where it says, I can do all things because Jesus Christ gives me the strength. Amen. Now, the New Living Translation says this, says, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me the strength. Pretty much the translation that I kind of said. It's Jesus Christ that gives you the strength. Now, here's the deal. Many people are trying to do everything in their own strength. You have to understand that you will not naturally be able to do everything in your own strength. You won't be able to naturally do everything in your own power. You won't know naturally how to do everything. But you know what? The greater one on the inside will help you, will lead you, will guide you, will be there for you 100% of the time, 365 days a year. If it happened to be leap year, 366 days a year, 24/7. Jesus Christ will never leave you and never forsake you. He's always there and you always can. There's no I can't with Jesus. There's no I can't with God. And there's definitely no I can't with Mrs. Lynette Hagen. I figured out years ago, I never can say I can't. You know what? That means you can't be a failure. You might fail sometimes, but you can't be a failure with Jesus. Sometimes you might feel like a failure, but Jesus is there to make sure you succeed at all times. I'm going to read this from the Amplified. They call it the Amplified Classic Version because I guess they have the Amplified Modern Version. I don't know. But anyway, it says this. It says, I have the strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I have the inner strength through Jesus Christ. There's nothing I can't do. There's nothing I can't succeed in. That's what the Bible says. And that's the most important thing my mom's ever taught me. She taught me that I'm a success, I'm going to succeed, and she's going to believe in me. But not only does she believe in me, God believes in me. Jesus believes in me. You know, and I have, according to the word, a grandstand of people up in heaven that believe in me too. So when you feel like nobody cares and no one believes in you, or maybe your mom is not here on this earth, but you know what? She's there in the grandstands still believing in you. Still knowing you can make it. Still, you know, many times in life, there's probably things, the situations you get yourself into or whatever, and all of a sudden, your mom, her voice, something she said in life comes to you to help you through that situation. There's nothing more comforting than a mom. Do you know when people are sick, when kids are sick, going through whatever, you know, they're going through, you know, maybe the real flu, maybe other things, whatever. I've never really heard of a sick kid call for dad. In fact, dad can come up there and like, where's mom? There's nothing more comforting than a mom. And even though, you know what, when someone is sick, I mean, obviously, you know, from a spiritual perspective, the dad or the mom can pray for him or whatever. The dad or a mom can bring him chicken soup and whatever they need. But there's something about mom doing it for you that makes it more special. You know, and actually, sometimes I kind of feel bad because I don't know how many times, especially when they're on their crusade, I'll call mom's phone and mom's, someone's taking a nap in the afternoon. My dad answers the phone and she goes, can I help you? No, I need to talk to mom. I mean, you know, and sometimes I actually feel bad about it. I'm like, you know, he probably doesn't think I care. But usually it's about work stuff and I need to talk to mom. Because if I talk to him, he's going to say, well, let's ask mom. So why I just bypass that one step. You know, but there's just something about moms. There's something about your mother. Because you know what? When they pan the sidelines at sporting events, you know, you don't see people say, hi, dad. They always say, hi, mom. Not that they don't care about their dad. Because without their dad, they wouldn't be there either. But there's something about their mom that's special. And make sure you tell your mom today that she's special. Make sure you understand biology, that you wouldn't be here without your mom. All right. You know, some of you might be here and your mom's no longer here. Today, reflect back on some advice your mom gave you. Maybe some stories, you know, about your mom. You know, I think of some things about my grandmother. She didn't talk a whole lot to you guys, but she would always let us know what she's thinking. The deal is, you know, I found out here at this ministry that there's a lot of things, a lot of people that you can probably kind of get away with stuff, but if my grandmother didn't like it, she was going to get her way. Because, you know, the whole saying, if mama's not happy, ain't nobody happy. I remember one time my grandfather had a stern conversation. We never had really stern conversations, but it was my grandmother who was agging it on. So we were on the road one time, and he told me something that my grandmother wanted to make sure happened, and it happened. Because my grandmother wanted to make sure it happened. You know, so there's always special times. You know, and today's a day to reflect. Instead of being sad about your mother, think about where you would be if it wasn't for your mother. You know, hopefully there are some people in church today and their mom might not be here, but they know that their mom would want them to be in church on Mother's Day. You know, like I said, I gave you two things, one natural, one spiritual, advice that my mom gave me, but there's probably some advice that your mom has given you over the years. So think about those things today. But most importantly, we need to spend this day thanking God for our mom. Because if it wasn't for your mom, you would not be here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every person that's here in this room, each and every person that's watching online. And Father God, help us to reflect the many things that our mom has done. We thank you for the moms for generation after generation that have changed our lives, have touched our lives, have made us the people that we are today. We thank you, Father, for the motherly advice that she has given us over the years that have helped pattern our life. And we thank you, Father, that if nobody else seemed to care, our moms always did. But Father God, we just thank you today for each and every person that's here in this room or watching online, that's maybe not where they need to be with Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you say, Craig, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I want to today. If you're here in this room, you say, I've never asked Jesus to become Lord and Savior of my heart, and I want to today. Let's lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here today and you say, Craig, at one time I walked with God, but I've turned my back on him, and I haven't been walking with him. But today I want to rededicate my life to God. You know, it's something my mom would want me to do, and I want to make my mom proud on this Mother's Day, whether she's here or not, by rededicating my life to God. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. We don't want anyone to leave this place not knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here today and you say, Craig, I don't know whether I'm saved or not. I've been coming to church for a long time. My mom dragged me to church. I've been here. But just because you live in a garage doesn't make you a car. Just because you come to church doesn't make you saved. You have to ask Jesus Christ to become Lord and Savior of your life. And if that's you, you've never had what my grandfather called a no-so experience, you can this morning. Anyone across this room that's never been saved or wants to rededicate their life to God or doesn't know whether they're saved or not, lift your hand right now, because we don't want to end this service without giving somebody an opportunity to change their life. Across this auditorium, I don't see any hands. Father God, we just thank you right now. If anyone is here today that needs to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we thank you, Father, for sending laborers across their path. We thank you, Father, that they will remember the voice of their mom and come back to the God of their mom. Father God, we just thank you for everything that you're doing in their lives, and we just praise you for it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. Once again, don't forget about your mom. Your mom's more than a text. She deserves a phone call. If she doesn't answer the phone, then text her and says, Mom, call me. Happy Mother's Day. You know, like I said, we'll never, as a father, we'll never understand the love of a mom. No matter how much we try. In fact, as a male, I'm not sure we'll ever understand a female, period. But today, make your mom's day special. Amen? Amen. Well, don't forget, we'll be back here tonight at 6 p.m. Of course, you know the way we dismiss around here. First of all, if you're a first-time visitor, we're glad to have you today. Maybe you're here because your mom made you come. But if you're a first-time visitor, we're glad to have you. The Connection team is in the aisle, and they want to take you back and give you a special gift really fast. The pastoral staff are headed to the doors to shake your hands. If you want to shake hands with my mom, she's going to be at the east door with my dad. Bill and Tony Ray is going to be at the south door. Myself and my wife is going to be at the west door. And Tad and Amanda will be at the north door. Amen. Well, don't forget about your mom. And like I said, she's more important than a text. God bless you guys. We'll see you here tonight.